Well, I thank the Lord for the privilege to be here this afternoon. And I desire your prayers. I want the Lord to bless these moments together. I know that there are a lot of hurting people in this world. And it's not limited to just this world, folks. There's a lot of hurting people living for the Lord. Because sometimes circumstances happen in life where it just feels like the rug's been pulled out from under you. And you don't really, there's times when you don't even know which way to turn, which way to go. You pray. You talk to God because you know that He's the source for peace. You know He's the one that can calm the storms. But you've heard me say it, I suppose you have. I've preached it a few times. Sometimes God can be silent. And that can be frustrating, disheartening. It can cause us, whenever God is silent and we're pouring out our hearts to Him and there's nothing but silence coming back. It's a time of reflection. It's a time to look inwardly. It's a time to say, Lord, is there something here? Is there something with me that causes there to be this no response from you? Or Lord, are you just asking me to simply trust you even when the loaves and the fishes are gone? You see, Jesus told the multitudes, He said, you follow me not because of the miracles. You follow me because of the loaves and the fishes, and you were filled. There are some things that we enjoy in our service to the Lord that are some temporal blessings. There are things underneath this tabernacle that when we come together and worship, there are spiritual things and there are temporal things. The singing, even though the singing is in the spirit, it is coming from the voice of that which God has gifted humanity with. Stand here to speak before you today. It's because God has given me the ability to speak. And it doesn't take me long for my mind to run out when I think of all the blessings that God has bestowed to humanity to be able to stand before one another, hear information, and have conversation. The words that are formed in the mind and the thoughts to be able to convey those thoughts to one another, folks, that is something that a master of intelligence has imparted to you and me. And we owe Him praise and thanks for what He has done. So there are those times when we come together and we have temporal blessings, and we ought to be thankful for the temporal blessings, and we ought to be thankful for the abilities that God has given to us. But all of those things need to be sanctified to Him. And when those things are sanctified to Him, and when we find that place where we can truly sanctify those things to the Lord, we can find, as a sister just sung in that song, the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in You. Through all of life's frustrations, when things change, because we also sing a song in our hymnal that says, change and decay, and all around I see, O Thou who changest not, abide with me. This afternoon, my little burden is about crossroads. Crossroads. Herbert O'Driscoll said these words about crossroads. Crossroads call for choices. And the choices we make will change the pattern of our lives. God and the devil are both waiting at the crossroads, each attempting to direct one's path to heaven or to hell. Crossroads. Crossroads call for choices. In the community in which I live, there in La Ronge, Louisiana, just a few miles from the chapel, from my home, I come to an intersection that is now a four-way stop, and there are choices that I must make if I'm going to make a decision where I'm going to go. If I'm going to Hammond, Louisiana, at that point, one of the bridges is out now since the massive floods, so it kind of limits my choices. But At that point, when I come to that crossroads, there are choices to be made. I can make a left-hand turn, and I can follow that highway, and it will take me into the town of Hammond, Louisiana. If I want to shop on the east side of town, that's the way I would take. I can go straight across to that intersection, and I can go to the next four-way stop, and I'm another crossroads. Now, I can turn left at that crossroads, and it'll take me into Hammond, Louisiana. Or I can go straight at that crossroads, and it'll take me to a major highway, U.S. Highway 51. And I can make a choice which way I want to go. I can turn left there, and it'll take me into Hammond. At each one of those places, I have a decision to make. Am I going to go straight at this crossroads and make the next left? Those are the choices that I have to make. And you have those same kind of choices presented to you when you make your travels as you're going through life. And I'm not so interested in the travels that we have, the road numbers and the highways. But what I'm interested in is places that you find through life where you come to a crossroads. Remember what Herbert O'Driscoll said, crossroads call for choices. When you come to those places in life, where you come to a place where you reach an intersection. And folks, many are the intersections that you and I will face and will come to in life. As we live life, as I remember, I've gone down memory lane different times since I've been here, and I've thought about names and faces that I used to see that I no longer see, and I've thought about those that made an impact in my life. And I want to name a couple of people to you this afternoon, and many of you will remember them. Some of the younger ones may not, but Brother Herbert and Sister Eva Probst. Brother Herbert Probst came to LaRonger, Louisiana when I was just a boy. And he began the pastorate of that little congregation. Now, I was just a boy. And I didn't have a whole lot of understanding about Bible things. But I remember them being so loving. And I remember Brother Herbert coming out to my dad's shop. I'd see his car pull in. He drove an LTD, a Ford LTD, if I'm not mistaken. And it was a dark green car. And sometimes my dad would work on the car with him and for him. And they would visit out there in the shop. And I would go out to the shop. And I didn't know anything about what was going on. I was just a boy. But I was just out there in the shop. But I remember, oh how I remember, the face of that man that in my mind was a face of love. And was a face of one that was interested and concerned of those around him. And he showed an interest in my dad. And I remember that. I remember how that impacted me and how I felt about it. And I remember Sister Eva, when we were, there was a bunch of boys there in the congregation, kind of like what we have now. But there was just many boys in the congregation, and we were a rough, tumbly bunch of boys. I'll tell you, we were rough. Things that we couldn't think of doing. I was telling somebody here just in the last day or so. On my daddy's side of the family, there were no girls. 10 grandsons. And the things that we couldn't think of to do. And not only was it that way with my family, there were so many other boys in the congregation. And as we began to grow up, we did boy things. We boxed. We fought. Not because we were just mad at one another, but we just bare knuckles, last man standing, see who's the toughest. Those kinds of things. And wasn't too smart looking back over then, but I look at those things and I remember the people that had an impact in my life. And I remember that Sister Eva, I expect that when we were in worship service, she looked out across the group of people that was assembled there in the little chapel, and she saw all these boys. And her heart went out to them. Now, this is my thinking. And she said, how can I reach them? What can I do to try to make an impact in their lives? And we would go to her house with invitation, and she would have cookies, juice, milk. She'd have a little songbook. I believe it was called Youth Favorites. I think it's what it was called. Little songbook, little spiral notebook songbook. And we'd sing out of that songbook. Now, mind you, I was just a boy. But I remember those things. I remember those things. And when it came time, at one point in my life, when it came time to come to a crossroads, I remembered some of those things. You see, the crossroads call for choices. And at every point in those crossroads, we have choices to make and consequences with those choices. And I found that at that place, as I look back at what Herbert O'Driscoll wrote, yes, there was a devil on one side and there was God on the other. One trying to call me to turn this direction, take me down his path. And another one making effort to call me down his direction and take me down his path. There was a conflict between the two. And the conflict wasn't between the two work against one another, even though they are. But the conflict was inside of this man. The conflict was inside of this man coming to that place where I have to make my decision. I have to choose one way or the other. Am I going to turn right or am I going to turn left? Thank God for people that have shown us concern and have helped us in life. I want to turn to the book of Genesis and read a few verses here in the fourth chapter. Beginning with verse 2. She again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought forth of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Crossroads. Here's a crossroads. Here is something that God, in His love and His mercy and His faithfulness, presented to this man Cain. He saw the things that were rolling in Cain's mind. Folks, the Lord sees the things that are rolling in our minds. He knows those things that are there. He knows those things that you and I entertain. He knows that when we come into a situation that is conflicted, He knows the things, the thoughts, and the feelings that we have. We wrestle and we struggle with those things. What decision do I make? Which direction do I turn? What is the right way to go? Those are things that you and I struggle with. When we come to that place, that point of decision. So here was Cain at that point of decision. The sad story is that Cain made that bad choice. That the enemy won out in this battle. The Lord in faithfulness came down and visited with him and said, If you do well, here's the proposition I give to you, Cain. If you will hear my instruction, if you will receive what I have to tell you, then you can be successful. Folks, I want to tell you what God wanted to do with that man that day. He wanted to be able to teach him and talk to him and express to him and explain to him why his sacrifice was not pleasing to God. God in His faithfulness, in His love and His mercy, reached down to Cain that day and said, If you do well, you'll be accepted. Thank you, Brother Tony. If you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you make this bad choice, you have nothing but heartache ahead of you in life. As we heard last night, reaping the wind. And that's exactly what happened in Cain's life. He reaped the wind. He said, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Now I'm going to rewind a couple of chapters here. Shared this with some of the folks in West Virginia at the meeting there. There was a time of a crossroads that was presented to Adam and Eve. We're also very familiar with that. We've read the account over and over how the serpent tempted Eve to partake of that forbidden fruit. So there she was at that place where the Lord God had said, don't go near it, don't touch it, don't partake of it, don't eat of it, because if you do, there's bad consequences. You will die. So the tempter comes along and says, oh, you'll not surely die. You'll not surely die. I'll tell you, folks, the enemy of our souls is going to paint a picture so very different than what the actual reality of it is that it'll cloud our mind with delusion and deception and cause us to make bad choices. All right, so we know what happened here. Eve listened to that choice. Now, I'm a man that sometimes thinks a little out of the box. And I think about the what ifs. Sometimes that gets me in a little bit of a trouble when I have to go to the Lord and He tells me the secret things belong to me. But I think about the what ifs sometimes. And I think about a what if with Eve on this day. If you'll just give me this moment. What if Eve had said to the tempter, oh, no, I can't partake of that forbidden fruit because God has told me that I can't do that. And if I do, He's told me there's a penalty and I'll surely die. And I can't afford to take that risk. And to be able to turn and walk away from that temptation at that crossroads, to be able to turn and walk away from that and go back to her husband, Adam, and say, Adam, oh, this most horrible thing that happened to me. I was over there, and you can't imagine what just took place. That serpent, he beguiled me. He started talking to me. And he told me that if I would partake of that fruit, that it would make me something more than I am. And I almost did it. I wanted to. But I realized, I remembered what God said. And He said, no, no. And Adam, Eve, thank you so much for making that choice. And then here comes God in the cool of the day. Adam, where are you? I'm right here, Lord. I'm right here where I've always been. Oh, Adam, it's so good to see you. Adam, let's visit like we've done in the past. Eve, where are you? Oh, I'm right here, Lord. All right, let's visit a while. Oh, Lord, today the most awful thing happened to me. I was over there and that serpent, oh, that serpent. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God has given to you and me the power and the ability to choose. He had to do that in order for us to be able to show true devoted love to Him. He had to give us the ability to say yes or no. It is no fault of God that the tempter was there. It is no fault of God that He put that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in that garden. It had to be that way. It had to be that way so that you and I could show our true heart of love. So I'm supposing a little bit here. What a different outcome it could have been. Lord, He came. He came. And I was so close. But I remembered what You told me. And I stepped back. And what does God say? In my surmisings, oh, my loving child. You see, I had to let You feel that. I had to put that crossroads before You. I had to give You that opportunity to feel that. It had to be. But because You responded well, and because You heard my words, that I have love with You and for You and You for me, I think of what the different outcome would have been. But it wasn't. It wasn't. So I came to other crossroads in my life. And I didn't always make the best choices. In fact, I made some bad choices. And the enemy that Herbert O'Driscoll was referring to here was bidding for my soul just as much as God was. And he won. He won. So I traveled that path. I traveled that path for a while because of choices that I had made, choices that God allowed me to have in my own life. Ran with a group, wasn't so good. Did things I shouldn't have done. And I remember going to the Hammond Assembly meeting. If I'm not mistaken, it was the last service. It was cold and it was raining. And we drove in. I didn't have a driver's license. I rode in with my cousin. Three of my cousins. We rode in. Went to that service that night. You may have heard me say this before, but I was a young man that was in trouble. I had the bloodhounds on my trail. And I made the decision that night that I would go to the altar and get some space between me and those hounds. I had no intention of getting saved. I was just going to get some breathing room. I don't know who preached that night. Don't remember who preached, what they preached about. Don't remember any of it. I just went down to get some breathing room. But when I got there, God had other plans. To this day, I don't understand how that can happen. But that's God's business. But I remember when I got down to that altar of prayer, the minister came and prayed with me. Things changed. And I got up a man that was different than what I went down there. And I had a lot of things to learn. I had a lot of crossroads to come to in life, and I had a lot of choices and decisions to make along the way. And I remember one evening standing there with one of my friends. And I remember telling him, I can't do that anymore. He said, why not? I said, well, I went to church. And I asked God to forgive me of my sins. Holy roller. Preacher boy. Those kinds of things I heard over the next few weeks. But I had a decision to make, you see. Every one of us is going to have decisions to make. You young people are going to have decisions to make. The enemy is going to come along with deceptions. He's going to come along with things to offer you. Your friends that you used to have, that you used to go with, I want to tell you, there's going to have to be some changes in life. The scripture tells us in the book of Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we come to those places where we have to make that decision at that crossroads, it's time for us to step back and be patient and wait on the Lord. We may not always understand, but God is always faithful. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Let's look down at verse 19. I call heaven and earth to you, to record to this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. He is thy life and the length of thy days. When Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 10, I think it's verse 10. The thief cometh not. He comes for no other reason but to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus said, but I am come that you could have life and you could have it more abundantly. My mind goes back to those times when Brother and Sister Propes would be there with us in their home. And we would sing those songs and she would pray with us, and she could never know. She could never know the impact that that would make on a young man's life at some point. But it causes there to be, you know how much a roadmap is needed? Oh, I know what we deal with today. We've got all these electronic gadgets that help us navigate. I've got a GPS on the dash of my vehicle too. Sometimes it makes me feel ashamed that I don't even know. I've lost some of the ability to read a roadmap. It makes me ashamed. But when we know how to read that map, and we have those road signs along the way, typically, if you notice on your major highways, your U.S. highways, interstate highways, the north-south are odd numbers, east and west are even numbers. Your U.S. highways, that's general directions. That's to try to help us be able to navigate. When we have those types of reference points, we have those things in our mind, those reference points, it can make a difference when we come to the crossroads of which direction I need to take, which direction I need to turn. You have had those kind of things presented to you in life. You've had those before you that cared about you, that loved you. I had Brother Herbert and Sister Eva Probst. I'll tell you another one, Sister Laverne Manuel. For those of you who knew Sister Laverne Manuel, when I was in that place where there's so many things I didn't understand, and I'll never tell you I understand it all today. But I was in those places where I didn't understand, didn't know what to do, trying to find my way into a place of real security and a relationship with God. I remember going to service one day, and before preaching ever started, I remember walking straight into the building. I sat down, and in just a few minutes, I got up, and I went down, and I knelt at an altar of prayer. She came down to pray with me. And she said, "What do you need, son?" I said, "I just need help." I said, "I'm sorry, Aunt Laverne, for interrupting the service. I'm sorry for disrupting this. Maybe I should have waited." She said, "Son," I'll never forget these words. She said, "Son, you come down to this altar as often as you need to. You come down here and you pray as often as you need to, so you can to get all these things straight." And I'll never forget those words, folks. That has been a reference point in my life. When I come to crossroads, when I come to places, I remember people like that who encouraged me, who were willing to hold up my hands, who were willing to help me along the way. She called me one day. I told you I didn't always make good decisions. Got into a fight at school. I got sent home for a few days. My dad didn't make that easy on me. I did a lot of tractor work in 3 days. But the phone rang one evening. And my mother came to me and said, "Son, Aunt Laverne wants to talk to you." That's the last person I wanted to talk to. But I answered the phone, and she spoke to me. She said, "I understand you had a little trouble." I said, "Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry." And she encouraged me. She encouraged me. She told me to keep on. She told me not to give up. She told me to stay there. You see, it was probably another one of those places where I was approaching a crossroads. And I needed some direction. I needed somebody to tell me which way to turn or whether I should or should not turn. And she said, "Don't give up. Don't quit." I'll tell you, folks, those things are valuable to us in life. Those are things that you and I need along the way. Someone that can give us a gentle nudge. I'm standing at the crossroads. Which way do I turn? Do I turn left? Do I turn right? Do I go straight? Which way do I go? Sometimes it's very helpful to have a gentle nudge along the way to help us know which way to go. Here in Deuteronomy, he says, I call to heaven and earth to record this day before you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, obey his voice, and cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Book of Luke. Chapter 10. Verses 41 and 42. Jesus speaking to Martha. There was a little disruption here because of Mary was a little dissatisfied about some of the things that were happening. But Jesus turned to Martha. I mean, Martha was satisfied, dissatisfied. And she said to the Lord, she was troubled, and Jesus saw that, and he picked it up. He said to her in verse 41, Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She made that choice. One point, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He was talking about drinking his blood and eating his flesh. And they listened to those words and they said, this is ridiculous. Who can do something like this? And he says, many of them turned and walked away and walked no more with him. And he looked at his disciples and said, will you also go away? Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words. I'll tell you, folks, there's so many things in life we're at crossroads. You and I come to crossroads. You faced them in the past, you'll face them in the future. There will be things that come to you. Choices, decisions, opportunities. You're going to have requests made of you. And you're going to have to make a decision which way you're going to turn along the way. Put God first. Let Him be your guide. Let Him be the one that is first in your life. He said concerning all those temporal blessings and temporal needs, but put God first. Put Him first, and all these other things will be added to you. And we have to realize and recognize that there's only one way that we're going to be a success living for the Lord. Keep Him first and foremost in our lives. And I'll assure you that when you do that, if you come to that crossroads, and if you make a wrong turn, He'll be there. He'll be there. He's not going to let you go very far without letting you know you made a wrong turn. And He's going to do everything in His power to help you get back where you need to be. Thank God, folks, we have a loving God and a loving Savior. I thank God as many times as I've scratched my head and puzzled over, Lord, why did it have to be that way? Why did it have to be that there's sin in this world? Why did it have to be that there was that choice in the garden? Why did it have to be? He's let me know. You choose me. If you exercise your power of choice, and if you choose me, I'll be with you. I'll be to you more than sons and daughters. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit here. The young man that I used to run with called me Holy Roller, Preacher Boy, those kind of things. I see him pretty often. His life is a shambles. His life is an absolute shambles. And there's not one time that I see him, that I speak to him, that I visit with him, that I don't think, well, that I walk away from that and I think, oh Lord, I was that close. I was that close to wrecking my life. And I look at this man's life and the tragedy after tragedy after tragedy that has happened in his family, in his brothers, his siblings, over and over again. And I think, thank you, Lord. Help me always, Lord, even when I don't understand. And if I make that bad choice, that bad decision, help me to hear your voice saying, you made a wrong turn. Oh, thank God, folks. Wherever you are in life today, wherever you find yourself, if you've made those choices in life, and maybe they weren't so good, I want you to know. I want you to know God will help you get back on the right path. And I want you to know that in that decision, in that place where you have to make that choice, He's going to respect you. He's going to respect your decision and choice that you made. He'll follow after you all of your life, waiting for you to make turn around and make that right choice if you make the wrong one. There to help you back. I want to encourage us, folks, do what we can to help one another. Your Sunday school teachers, you can never know. You can never know what a few minutes spent talking to a child, a young man, you can never know. You can never know what difference that can make. You can never know where that might drive a stake as a reference point to let someone know that when they come up to a crossroads, that there is a reference point. The ancient landmarks. There will be those kind of places in your life. If someone has been there and done what they could to try to help you along the way, to point you in the right direction, when you come to the crossroads, if you'll not be hasty, if you'll stop, study, and reflect, there will be reference points. Thank God for the reference points. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Sometimes it's not always convenient, but to stop. It means something to these little ones running around here. It means something to them for somebody to stop and say hello to them. It means something to them for them to be able to have some type of a connection, a relationship. Yesterday evening, and I felt embarrassed. I usually try to keep candy in my pocket. And I try to teach the children how to shake hands with candy in my pocket. They come to me to shake hands. I hold out my right hand. And I try to teach them to shake hands with their right hand. Many is the time they try to reach out with the wrong hand. And I will not shake their hand if they don't extend the right hand. And I try to teach the young ladies, little girls, it's not proper for the lady to extend her, for a man to extend his hand to the lady, for the gentleman to extend his hand to the lady. It's not proper. It's proper for the lady to extend her hand to the gentleman. Then the gentleman can shake your hand. So I tell these young girls that, and sometimes they'll come up to me and they want a piece of candy and they're a little shy. I just stand there. Yesterday evening, I didn't have any candy in my pocket. And this little girl comes up to me, and she looks up at me, and she spoke to me, and I thought, uh-oh. And my wife said, looked at me, and she said, she wants candy. I said, I don't have any. And she hurried, reached in her purse. She usually has something in her purse for the grandchildren. She reached in her purse, and she grabbed some. She handed it to me, and the little girl came back, and I shook her hand. Those kinds of things. It's little things. It's just little things. And it might look so insignificant. And it may be insignificant. But if it's insignificant, I'll tell you, I'm willing to be a fool for the Lord. If it's insignificant, all I want to hear Him say is when I come to the end of the journey, if I can hear Him say, in spite of all of the crossroads and all of the choices and all of the decisions, and all the backtracking and trying to get back on the right track, if I can hear Him say, well done. Well done. What a blessed phrase that will be. Well done, thou faithful servant. Enter thou in the joys of thy Lord. I appreciate your time and attention this afternoon. Please pray for me. Let's pray for one another. Amen.